Good afternoon. I'm Daniel Guest, and welcome to the Imagine Golf Podcast, brought to you by Imagine Golf and PXG. You can go to our site, imaginegolf.com, to see all of our offerings, including our free drills, our practice plans, our golf ebooks and videos, or to book a lesson with me at our state-of-the-art studio right outside of Philadelphia, or virtually through our partner, thegolflliveapp.com. And you can sign up for our free tips and videos that go out once a week, every week, by simply dropping us your email. All right, folks, here it is. In my opinion, the number one thing that matters in your swing, bar none, the number one thing. And let me tell you, man, after 37,000, it'll be 37,000 lessons sometime in the middle of summer this year. And I've heard it all. Just when I thought I have it, you know, then I have, right? So look, for us at Imagine Golf and for a lot of the top instructors out there, it's swing path, right? If you do not have the proper swing path, it's going to be really, really hard for you to consistently strike the ball with power and accuracy, all right? Does that mean that face angle is not important, right? Absolutely not, all right? And to be the best that you can, you need both. But whenever I see someone coming in, and it's usually from another instructor where they're working on their club lag, they're working on their address, they're working on, you know, getting their right elbow tucked into their rib cage. They got, you know, one of a million different things they're working on. And then I throw them in the sim, or I just take a look at their swing for that matter, and I see that the swing plane is off, and usually significantly. I just chuckle, man, because it's a total waste of time. I mean, a total waste of time. All right. And if you're that golfer out there that has a horrible swing path and you made it work and you're figuring it out and you're shooting 80, all right, send me your scorecard. Right? Send me a video of your swing because I don't believe you. All right. I just don't see it. Right. And I'm being facetious, but I'm kind of not. Right. I just don't see it out there. I see with people with an over-the-top golf swing, as an example, that is plus, let's just call it 5 degrees, right? And that's about almost half the golfers out there. It's very, very difficult, right, for them to hit a consistent, powerful golf ball that's accurate. And because of that, what do you think the number one thing people come in and say they want to get out of their lessons? They want to be more consistent and hit the ball farther, right? So there you have it, right? That's really all you need to know, right? Swing path. And let's go down a couple reasons as to why swing path is so important, right? First of all, with a swing path that's correct, you're engaging your bigger body parts, your bigger muscles, right? You're rotating your body through the golf swing. And it's pretty hard to rotate through a golf swing and swing a club at 70 plus miles an hour and be totally out of control, right? So it's like throwing a baseball. If I throw a baseball on the right plane moving forward and I get some body weight moving into that throw, I can throw it pretty hard, right? I can't throw it 95 miles an hour. I'd be making, you know, $20 million. But I can throw it probably 70 miles an hour. I could throw it with some accuracy. I could throw it repetitively in the same arc and the same speed and the same velocity and same distance almost the, you know, entire time. So what would make you think golf's any different, right? So at the end of the day, you know, golf is what the ball does, John Jacobs used to say, right? Hank Haney's teacher. So when we understand that the golf swing, like everything in life, is one big physics equation, then we got to have the physics more in our favor, and an over-the-top swing or a swing plane that is counterproductive does not have these physics in alignment, if you would, all right? So we've got to get the golfer to swing inside to out, all right? And, well, you know, I know what you're saying, oh, Daniel, you know, everyone on the tour plays a fade, right? And there's some truth to that. these guys are the uber professionals though in this space, right? And they can only hit a fade the way they do because they have the stock draw shot down. So it's not like they woke up one day and you know, at 10 years old, they started hitting the golf club or started playing golf, started hitting clubs that were all fading and they just perfected the fade. That's just not the way it is, right? So if you don't have a stock inside to outside shot, well, how in the world are you going to make things go the opposite way with any degree of accuracy? I can answer that for you. You're not. So when we meet with students, we assess their golf swing and we work on that weakest link or what we call the big miss. What is that big miss? And you got it. The majority of it is an over-the-top swing or a path that is more outside to in. The club head moves forward, the hands move forward, the back shoulder moves forward and then down to the golf ball. It's almost like it's a rush to the golf ball. And we got to reverse that. And we do a ton of different drills. We do a ton of different exercises. We have what we call a swing ring that we use. There's all kinds of ways that we can actually give the student the feel of a more inside to outside swing. But candidly, getting back to my my starting point, if you would, if the student is working on anything else, if they're doing any drills, if they're going to practice and they're trying to, you know, hit these other different types of shots, if they're working on their grip, if they're working on, it doesn't matter what they're working on. If they're not working on that big miss, they are not going to get better. Point paragraph. They are just not going to get better. They may play better on a given day. They may play better in a given week, in a given month. I'll give you all that, but they will not consistently drop their handicap. And I would make the argument that while they're working on all these other ancillary types of challenges, if you would, that they end up being lost, if you would. We call that loss, where the student has tried so many different things. They've worked on so many different pieces, parts of their game that they can't even remember what they originally or really started working on, you know, a season ago or at the beginning of the season or whatever. So you get the point. Work on what's the most important thing in a golf swing, which is your swing path. I would also make the argument that if you can move your body and rotate through a golf swing appropriately, that a lot of the aforementioned things or the small things in a golf swing tend to start to come into play, meaning that the open hands, if you would, start to come a little bit closed, more closed. The face starts to square a little bit more at impact. The follow through starts to look a little bit more golf appropriate, all right? Because it's harder to mess those things up when you're moving your body appropriately through the golf swing. So that should be good news to almost everyone out there that's listening to this, right? And how do you know what you're, if you got a poor swing plane? Well, if you're, you know, a double digit handicapper and you're, you know, you're hitting the ball left and then you're hitting the ball right and you're hitting the ball or you're hitting the ball consistently one way or the other, I can tell you that you probably have some type of challenge, especially if the ball is going right, right? For a right-handed golfer, that you probably have a challenge with your swing plane. All right. And you can simply video yourself. Take a quick video of yourself from down the line. Get the camera, behind yourself. 6 to 8 feet, probably even more like 8 feet. Get the camera right behind the golf ball, if you would, so you can see your entire swing in the frame of the camera, and then film it. And then once you're done filming it, then take a look at it, draw a virtual line, or if you got, you know, any kind of software that you can make a line with it, do so. But take a line right up the shaft, right, and just draw a line from the shaft right through your body. And see if that club stays on plane on the way back and on the way down through the golf swing, or does it go across that line in any way, shape, or form? All right. And by the way, I'm not advocating too much of an inside to outside swing. That's a problem too. That's probably another podcast that we should definitely another podcast we should do. All right, because that's a problem. The overall overarching comment or theme of today is a poor swing plane. So one that's too flat or too inside, that would be a poor swing plane. We just don't see that as much, all right? We definitely see the over-the-top, more outside to inside swing plane. And for those of you that are buying into the single plane theory, have at it. I've tried it. I think it's too complicated. I think it's too hard for most individuals to pull off. because that would require a zero degree swing plane, if you would, and the club needs to be 100% square every time to hit the ball straight. So just when you say that out loud, that's kind of difficult to pull off, all right? And you know, if the single plane theory, if you would, or technique truly helped golfers, wouldn't you see a lot of them on tour, right? I mean, these guys are looking for every single solitary advantage they can get. So if the single plane theory made sense, they'd be using it. And the only one that uses any iteration of it is Bryson. And you could even make the argument that he's altered it a little bit. And you could also make a valid argument that it's kind of broken his body down. All right. So stick with the two plane theory, right? So there's one swing plane on the way back, and there's one on the way down, and they intersect somewhere on the way down. And then stick with the inside to outside mantra. All right. Get an alignment stick, put it in your vision, and point it towards 1 o'clock. If 12 o'clock was right in front of the golf ball, right in front of your target, if that's noon, point this stick just a little bit to your right and swing down that line. I guarantee you, you'll get better if you just did that, right? You don't even have to change anything. Just swing down the line. Keep your normal stance. Keep your normal grip. Do everything that you normally do, but swing down that line at 1 o'clock. I challenge you to do that because I know I've seen it a million times. I know you're going to have a better strike at the ball. I know it'll feel more natural. And I know a lot of these little things will start to go away and you'll start to play better golf. And then we can really start to dial you in. But without the proper swing plane, I hate to say it, but it's true. It just isn't going to happen. So, all right, that's the podcast for today. I really appreciate everyone listening. We just passed another milestone. So we got well over 100,000 people listening to the podcast. So I'm excited about that. Be sure to check out our site, imaginegolf.com, and you can follow us on all the social media platforms. We're on all of them, including YouTube. So here's to getting you the game and the swing that you've always imagined.